The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Man in Line is open line today through till 1 o'clock, because tomorrow the Chief Minister will be on. But today the floor is yours. Whatever subject you'd like to talk about, then by all means do get in touch. Call 66 13 68 and text on 166 177. Email studio at maxradio.com or WhatsApp on 166 177. But you'll need us in your contacts. Many messages the back end of last week that came in too late on the show on Friday to get to. Somebody talking about abandoned vehicles, right? Well, certainly those ones at Tesco, I think, are still, certainly I think they were still there on Saturday. It's amazing. It's an absolute, it's almost like a car lot down there. And some, well, what used to be rather nice vehicles there. Anyway, apparently they're going to be shifted away fairly shortly. Again, people talking about cutting the weeds back that the DOI aren't doing. And remember, the DOI said last week regarding the paths, don't do it yourselves. We'll do it because you're not covered by insurance. Well, how long do we have to wait if we've got holidaymakers coming over, we've got tourists coming over, visitors who want to walk down those paths? And if nobody's clearing the paths, then who's going to do it? The path fairy, perhaps, will get rid of all the muck and the mess in some of those paths. But I mean, they're still there. They're still not very accessible. I just wonder what the government would do, says Texter 761, if a group of people just started trimming back the vegetation. What would they do? Because if nobody's going to do it and we have to wait for them to get the money together, then what happens in the meantime? Nature takes its course and the paths get overgrown. We've got to the stage, says 109, where we've got too many people at the DOI who tell you how and why you can't do something rather than somebody who actually can do it themselves. And still, the paths continue to be overgrown. What about the volunteers who work at the MER and the Steam Railway? Are they insured? Says Terry Kay. The DOI said you can't do it because, you know, you're not insured and you're not trained. Well, why can't we have real pay jobs and apprenticeships for maintenance across the island? This is Victoria on 472. You should see the ivy growing on the two plastic lighthouses on the new bridge at the Laxey River. If they're covered in awful green mould as well, another unkempt multi-million pound project. The two lighthouses, the port and starboard lighthouses. If you try walking from the Liverpool Arms to Bowl Dry and you take your life in your hands, on account of what? Frank, don't worry about the road signs. They're still soon going to be replaced by hundreds of 20-mile-per-hour signs anyway. And again, we were talking about the number of road signs that are either obscured by vegetation or just covered in moss. Filthy, to be quite honest. Now, does that come under maintenance of the highway? And would you be breaking the law if you cut the vegetation back or clean the sign yourself? Or have you done it? We employ over 22% of the population through government. Surely one day per month, all government workers could get involved in a mandatory island improvement scheme. Fixing fence posts, cleaning up walkways. They already have liability insurance. They're government employees. Just a thought. Or maybe they could do it voluntarily, says 505. Well, you could try, couldn't you? Is it true that, this is Pat on 223, is it true that MHKs and LegCo members and civil servants get cheap fares travelling with the steam packet if it's booked by the Chief Secretary's office? Didn't know that, 223. Is that a question, or do you know something that we don't know? And again, people are saying that we should have footpath buddies, you know, like beach buddies clean the beaches at the weekend. If we get footpath buddies, what training do you need to clear foliage on a footpath? And surely insurance isn't necessary if volunteers are prepared to work at their own risk, says Mike in the South. What do you think? A note in from Penny, who just said, this just sounds like somebody with a risk assessment quoting the regulations back to the public, who can see the clear common sense of clearing paths, which, of course, are the responsibility of the government to clear. Here's David with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. We went to Marx's this morning and had a little look around. Well, I did. Well, my wife's shopping there. But I don't know whether you've been up to the car park. As you come in and go up the roundabout, looking for a space.
Yeah.
The place is undecorated. It's black, filthy. And then you get towards the top, and you know the little baskets where you put the plants go in? There's one cushion growing in the trough. There's no plants at all. There's no niceness on it at all. And you get to the top floor, and you just look over the top towards where the air conditioning units are, and the wall is filthy, black. And this is the part that gets me annoyed, really, is that's owned by the government, the DOI, should be on a maintenance program. And it's not getting done. So where are we with these maintenance
programs? So that car park above Marks and Spencer's owned by the DOI. It's nothing to do with Douglas City Council, is it?
No, it's the DOI.
Right.
As far as I know, it was at the time. They used to get all the money from it anyway, the car parking fees or such, from that. And they operate there. A warden that probably goes round now and again. But it may be subbed out to the Douglas City Council. They could let us know, couldn't they? But I'm sure they won't be responsible for the maintenance and keeping it tidy.
I'm just trying to remember the last time it was painted. It must have been 20 years ago.
It's awful. You know what? If somebody gave me some gallons of paint, I'd go down and have a crack at it. The other one is M&Co. Come past there in the back lane. The back lane, by the way, of the DOI listing is absolutely terrible. It's like the switchback. It's full of ruts, holes and whatever. And when you go past M&Co and you think to yourself, what are we doing with that building? Are we going to flog it? Wasn't that a big thing from government? They were going to look at their assets they've got, which are our assets anyway, the general public. And if they weren't wanted, we were going to flog them. Or not give them to somebody else. Not like Kell Properties is doing. We've still got Newsom's down on the quay there, haven't we?
And well, they offered it free back to the government, didn't they?
I know. So it brings me back to the stables at the back of down the bottom of Summer Hill there, next to Milky Quail's cafe there. There's all that scaffolding there. We must be paying thousands and thousands of pounds every week. Now, if that was a builder, they would have to. There's a rule within government. If your scaffolding's encroaching on the highway or the public footpath, you have to pay a penalty for letting that happen. So how much money have we all stacked up for ourselves there? And why aren't we doing something about it?
Well, and they've not even said if there's a big idea for the stables or there's any plan for the future.
Yeah, well, I think they were caught out with their pants down on that one regarding because somebody said, oh, it has merits and architectural features. Hey, wait a minute. Wasn't that the thing about Newsom site and the north-south quay there?
It was heritage, wasn't it?
Look at the, I don't know, some of these things you've got to move on and make it a little bit modern, but bring the modern stuff into a new world, isn't it? Where you've got to have, I've just gone through an air test with a building that I'm involved in, right? That passed, no problem at all. But you look at these other buildings that they've got, you know, heritage buildings and stuff like that. How are they going to get an ecological tick or an air test when they're full of holes and they're not even insulated, are they? So life needs to move on a little bit there. Mm. But anyway, we've still got the QB. We've still got the one at Derby Road. We've got, what else have we got in our portfolio, haven't we?
The prison.
What are we actually... And has the build, oh, what's it called? The arm's length company for building the nurses' home. You know, what's going on there?
Oh, the Manx Development Corporation.
Yeah, we built it with our money. And they're going to flog it back to the DOI. But don't we own it?
Mm.
There's something weird going on there. And I wonder whether that's... did the contract come in under budget? We haven't even heard that. And the final thing for me is the camper van in Lancaster Road has gone to heaven. And I'll get you the answer on... Well, I'll give it to you on Wednesday from the DOI.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Cheers. 17 minutes past 12. What about... I wonder who makes the stiles and gates for the footpaths. Is it DEFA that makes the stiles and the gates for the put there's a, of course, a few of them make sheds, I think, and benches at St John's Sawmill. So where do our stiles and gates actually come from? Do we import them or do we make them here? Shouldn't people that are given community service be doing these jobs? Is what sort of community service is actually done for people who have been given community service from the court? Thank you also to many people. Lots of people are sending in questions for tomorrow, which I'll file them. I'll put in a different file. We won't have those today. We'll have them tomorrow with the Chief Minister. Oh, Juwan's with us now. Hi, Juwan.
And now make sure you don't forget the phone calls that are coming in tomorrow, Andy, for all that there, all the messages. How was your weekend?
Very good, thanks. Very, very good. Refreshing.
Good, good, good. Yeah, just picking up a couple of things at the weekend, and if anyone wants to see Douglas in all its bloom, go over to where the Douglas Beach Festival was on Saturday, the Marine Gardens. The guys were busy spending loads of time there 2 or 3 days before. Everything's pruned and cut and looking absolutely fantastic. Two tractors on the beach pushing the seaweed back. It's like a segregated beach. One part is seaweed and one part is just no seaweed whatsoever. But on that note, the St. Mark's Country Fair was on Saturday as well. And that was, I just think that these little village fairs are so much about community and community spirit, and everything down there was just like it used to be, Andy. You know, years ago, the community spirit, everyone got together, and it would just be nice, I think, I was talking to the organisers, to get, you know, some fresh people in helping in these community events to keep them going, because there's so many, like, families of all ages down there and people just enjoying themselves and enjoying the day. And again, it's things like insurance that's putting the blocks on people wanting to join in, because, you know, the insurance companies are making, you know, committee members liable for things now. And it's a crazy world we're going in, because it's stopping and blocking some community events sometimes from going on, the power of these insurance companies. And I think we've spoke about that before. And just going back on, touching back on seaweed, actually, I was with a lady over here this week on holiday here, who was an agricultural lecturer in the UK, actually. I was having a really good chat with her. And she's actually over on a walking holiday. And she said, in her opinion, how little the Allemann is actually promoted for walking in the UK. And she was talking to the people that were actually doing the maintenance, and I was looking up on a BBC article as well, of the budgets now. We're down to like £360,000 budget now for 249 miles of walking paths, 190,000 of that as staffing, down from 12 million in 2010 with over 100 people.
And that's for what? What was that for, Juan?
That was for the budgets for the footpaths. I'm looking at a BBC article here where I think Jeffrey Robinson has quoted, resources are no longer available to maintain footpaths on the island to a high standard, a senior civil servant has said. So that's a massive drop when you're asking five staff now they have to do that amount of footpaths. It's no wonder that in the condition they are, because that kind of workforce can't do that. And like we said last week, if you're advertising something like we are advertising walking holidays, then surely that there's got to be some more emphasis put on that in some way or form. And my other thing, well, I was talking to this lady who was an agricultural the lecturer, and I was asking her opinion on seaweed and why seaweed or should seaweed be used in on the land and in fertilisation. She says, of course, no reason why not. She said there's no logical reason for it. Scotland do it. It's cheap. It's efficient. And I said, well, our DEFRA minister here says about microplastics. And she said, I think that's nonsense. She said, because if you're worried about microplastics, why are we still eating fish? And she said that microplastics don't get into the internals of the seaweed. So again, in her opinion, why isn't this stuff being used, keeping costs down? And again, we go back to the stranglehold, I think, on farmers. And I think people are not going to realise, until maybe it's too late, a lot of people are not going to realise the importance of farming community here and community spirit, keeping things going. So I just a few little points there, Andy, but hopefully I'll cover a few with Alf tomorrow, if you let me on.
OK, well, you get in nice and early and you'll be there. We have a queuing system here. It's just like COVID. We all queue.
I'm always on nice and early, Andy. I just have my pillow there handy, ready, just in case I fall asleep waiting. But I won't be wearing a mask like COVID. See you later.
Thanks for calling. 23 minutes past 12 midday on Man in Line today. A message regarding those overgrown signs. Road signs remain overgrown, Laxey to Ramsey. Ironically, one of them warns of a speed limit, while another is for a concealed entrance, says Gaz. Absolutely obscured. The footpaths are in a terrible state. Stop wasting money on wind farm surveys. These millions would fix the paths. Well, we appear to be in something of a a quandary here at the moment. If the paths, and you heard the, if DOI say there's no money to clear, or not much money to clear the paths, and they say we can't clear the paths because we're not insured and we don't know what we're doing, and we're advertising walking holidays, what's going to happen? There used to be 300 people working on the roads for the DOI. I make it between 65 and 70 nowadays, says 021. Maybe Laxey should be twinned with that well-known Devon Town Ivy Bridge. Thank you, Captain C. I've also sent this to Julie Edge. I was freaked out being accosted first thing this morning, says 901. What was that in reference to? To many DOI employees joyriding around the Isle of Man in Range Rovers and not enough getting their sleeves up, rolling their sleeves up with a strimmer, says 404. When are the DOI going to do something about the disgraceful state of our roads? We pay for the roads to be safe, and they're now causing suspension and tyre failures on our Dave, this is, on 692. Obviously had some sort of experience with this. Our roads are becoming unfit for purpose. A bit like the DOI, says Dave. Dave's opinion there. You can get your money back, can't you, if you damage your wheel or damage the tyre? Don't you? Isn't there a process where you can, if you can prove it, the DOI will give you your money back? But is this happening? Harry says, what are we paying our rates for? I spend a lot of time keeping the front of my property tidy and the hedge cut. We shouldn't do the commissioners or councillors' work for them, says Harry. A note in, for this is from Concerned of Onken, who just said, few people will know about a very serious issue that was debated in Timwell last week, and yet which as many have been questioning for the past year or so, and that is immigration. The Chief Minister, Mr Cannon, has said he wants to increase the population by 15,000. It would seem he's already embarked on that plan. Several friends have pointed out to me that we're seeing an increase increasing number of new faces on the Isle of Man. So how many exactly are arriving? More to the point, what are they coming to do? In 2020, the government only issued 212 visas, says Concerned, as Julie Edge MHK has revealed. It's now hundreds of visas. Well, it was 200 before, but anyway, if not thousands. Now, this is huge. Julie Edge has obtained a copy of the number of visa applications, and it makes very interesting reading. Now it's all coming out into the open with the debate about inward migration, or as most of us would call it, immigration. Where are the people working? Have we got more consultants at Nobles as a result of this? Well, tell that to the people waiting 2 years for a consultation. Tell that to the patients waiting for up to 3 months to see their GP or who can't get an NHS dentist. Tell it to the parents whose children have been without a science teacher for many months. Quite obviously, the people coming in, concern says hordes are coming in, aren't solving the problems. Simply bringing in people is definitely not the answer. We need to be selective. And there most definitely needs to be an immigration cap. How can we cope anyway with thousands upon thousands when we haven't got the services, the roads, and the accommodation? It would seem the plan is happening right now and people need to wake up before it's too late to do anything about it. That's Concerned of Oncombe. Plans to stop the self-employed people on the Isle of Man from being able to claim a benefit are going back to the drawing board after criticism from politicians. We've talked about this on Man in Line. Treasury had intended to make those who are self-employed ineligible for the employed person's allowance from September. The Treasury Minister withdrew his motion from July sitting of Tynwald after members described the proposals as lose-lose, i.e. lose both ways, and nonsense, and disproportionately impacting women.
This change risks unfairly penalising those who are doing exactly what we say that we want people to do, which is working, contributing, and trying to make ends meet, even in insecure or mixed forms of employment. It's no secret that many people, especially single parents, carers and those with health conditions, turn to self-employment because it offers flexibility and autonomy. To now tell them that work's not valid in the eyes of our welfare system seems both unjust and short-sighted.
I was also quite surprised the Treasury Minister had the absolute nerve to stand up and say that the benefit system is not designed to support subsidising low-wage employers. That is exactly what it does, actually. And it's exactly the position that this Honourable Court has just reaffirmed this week. So for the government to come out and say we don't subsidise low-wage employers is just absolutely nonsense.
Well, that was Laurie Hooper you heard just then. Before that, Joni Farragher, MHK for Douglas East. Speaking on Manx Radio this morning, Treasury Minister Alex Allinson says there are no changes to the system.
We've been looking at the overall benefit system and trying to make it fairer, easier to navigate, which is why we've been digitalising it. And we went out to look at particularly employed persons allowance. As you say, there's about 950 people who claim this benefit, which is really to support working families and those with young children or the parents with disabilities. Around about 50 of those people are self-employed. And we know about a third of them are earning less than the minimum wage when you add it up. And there are some issues with that, and so we wanted to try to get people back into more meaningful work and also support them doing that through these changes. I'm very grateful to some of the members of Tynwald who reached out before the debate, particularly Miss Farragher, Mr. Lord Brennan, and also Mrs. Dawn Kinnish, who expressed their concerns. But there was overall concern about it, and so we listened to those concerns. A lot of them were really quite constructive about supporting working families more, about particularly helping people to develop their businesses if they were self-employed, and we've withdrawn the current plans, and we'll come back with some better ideas in the future.
That was Dr. Allinson replying to the criticism, and now the fact that the plans to stop people, self-employed people, claiming employed persons allowance, going back to the drawing board. It was due to be happening in September, not now.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
Tony Christie's Farewell Tour is coming to the Gaiety Theatre on 24th of July. Sing along to unforgettable classics like Maria and Avenues and Alleyways for one final magical night. Don't miss this chance to celebrate a legendary career. Tickets are available at villagaiety.com or call 600-555. Tony Christie, The Great Farewell. 24th of July at the Gaiety Theatre.
A near 8-year campaign by a mum whose son tragically lost his life concluded in last week's Tynwald when a law that makes it easier for people to donate their organs was brought into force. Campaigner Diane Taylor and former MHK Martin Perkins tell of their pride in finally seeing this through. We also hear Speaker of the House of Keys, Ewan Watterson's view on health overspend and minimum wage, and Health Minister Claire Christian explains what her department and Manx Care are doing to turn around the island's health finances. That's agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 28 minutes before one, Monday lunchtime on the Isle of Man. I was walking up Michael Street in Peel on Saturday, says Paul. Oh dear, what a mess the street's become. About five people up the street and I talked to one shop worker and she said this is busy compared to in the week. Is this a result of Tesco being here? It's so run down and worse than anywhere in Blackpool. And that's saying something, says Big Paul. I previously commented on public toilets on the promenade being closed. Imagine my optimism in the tourist board when I noticed portable toilets to compensate for the closed public toilets to our tourists, only to be dismayed they are all locked, says James on 075. Can I just say the DOI's done a great job on the old railway footpaths. I use them in the Crosby and St John's area and they are very, very tidy, says Dewan 715. Regarding the lady who's trying to get her suitable wheelchair for her husband because he's over 65 and won't be able to get assistance for these things, I've found the same problem. I'm sure there's a lot of people who aren't aware of this legislation, says Kay. Thank you, Kay, on 370. And regarding immigration, is it because a lot of the new faces aren't white? Wow, that's 328. I was working in A&E last week and four nurses who were working in A&E but won't be staying here because it's too expensive. No different from London, they said. Well, the Chief Minister, the government's plan is to bring more people in to get the economy motoring along. Mr. Cannon's always drawn the parallel by the fact that we have to pay for our public services. We have to have people paying tax and companies paying tax and national insurance. If we don't, we won't have the money. It's as simple as that. No doubt. Well, I'll bring it up with him tomorrow as well. But if we have to have more people, surely we have to have more people. If we have less people, fewer people, less of a population, then people won't be paying income tax, national insurance. And the one I think most people forget, but it's always worth remembering, that you buy anything, really, most things, and certainly if it's entertainment or fun, and you're paying VAT. So people who aren't paying income tax are still paying VAT, and VAT plays a big part in our income. So there we are. Oh, there was. I've put together you 901. I finally found out what you were talking about, and it was a question about there were some people handing leaflets out in Douglas on Saturday morning. It was the Muslim Youth Association of the United Kingdom. I understand they were from Manchester, who were handing about the truth about Islam. And I don't know whether you got one, but apparently this leaflet, black leaflet with yellow writing, tells you all about the truth about Islam. And they said, how come they were allowed to, but the Buddhist monks were asked to go back to their temple? I think, don't you have to have a license to give stuff out in Strand Street? Presumably, if you have a license, you can give stuff out. But anyway, if you got one of those leaflets, I wonder what you made of it. Here's Liz with us now. Hi, Liz.
Hello, good afternoon. I've just got a little thing to say. When you ring the doctor's surgery, they just keep cutting you off all the time. They don't even answer the phone. And this is the village walk in Unken. My son's been trying to make an appointment, and I've rang them, he's rang them, and you just, it rings and rings, and they tell you press 2 if you want to meet, and then they just cut you off. I mean, what's the point in having a telephone if they won't answer it?
Well, you actually speak to them, or you get cut off before you get through?
You get cut off before you get through. It just says press 2. If you wish to, if this is an emergency, put the phone down and ring 999. If you wish an appointment, please ring 2. You press number 2, and all you get bang, 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 and then nothing. And even at a couple of stages, there was music being playing, and then it rang again, and they just switch you off, they cut you off. And this has happened about 10, 12 times. Just recently, my son's here, and he's just been trying to get through to make an appointment. But he can't. He just cuts you off all the time. It's really bad, so it is. Really bad. You're not ringing for the fun of it. You're ringing because you need to see somebody. You need to see somebody.
Well, that's... I mean, there must be a fault in their system, Liz.
I don't know, Don. They're just... You just, it's ring, 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 and then it's just dead. The line just goes dead. Every time. He rang about 6 or 7 times. I've rang about 5 or 6 times, and they just cut you dead. I rang off the landline. He's been ringing off his mobile. He's just sent him an email because, you know, they're just not picking up the phone. It's bad form, so it is.
Well, keep us informed, Liz, and if anybody else has got experience of, if anybody's actually got through to Village Walk this morning, then please tell us. It may be that there's either nobody there, and it's just... So there's no answer phone service at all, Liz. You can't just leave a message.
No, can't leave a message. There's no answer phone. They just cut you off, so they do. Yeah, they okay. Don't even... You speak to a machine, and it says, the machine says, press 2 for if you want to make an appointment. You press 2, ring, 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 dead. Ring, ring, dead, all the time. So
well, at least they don't say, your call is important to us, because it obviously isn't.
They don't say that. They don't say nothing. It's just cut-off job.
All right, Liz, keep trying. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Cheers now. The footpaths. This is 714 just said, one hazard will be hogweed for people who don't know what hogweed is. The sap causes a rash, especially in bright sunlight. If you're cutting it back and you get splattered with the sap, I know a couple of gardeners who got big rashes when strimming it using a sickle. Is that true? Hogweed, 715. The ivy on the Daleks on the Laxey Bridge will be an improvement, says John. Well, opinion seems divided. We've had to trim roadside hedges on the main Douglas to Ramsey Road, walkers, traffic and brambles 3 feet long, says 3 feet long, says Stu. I hope you had a road cone. Did you have high vis and a traffic cone to warn everybody? I suppose you would have to. And Ken's on now. Hi, Ken.
Oh, good afternoon. Are you receiving?
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Oh, very good. Very good. I heard you chatting earlier on about the state of the signposts around the island, full of bushes, green mosses, speed limits you can't see. Now, if you can't see the speed limit and there's a bit of a kerfuffle, who's to blame there? But what I'm coming to about the signpost, Andy, is that about 20 years ago, when I was politically involved, I read into this, and I even noticed years ago signposts were a mess. Anyway, what I'm coming to is, I wrote to the Department of Infrastructure, and I said, I'd like to suggest a new sort of job, please, to clean up all the signposts in the Isle of Man, because they are an absolute disgrace. And did I get an answer? Yes. And he said, no, we're not interested. We will do it ourselves. Whilst on the same subject of the signposts, there's out there, there's little businesses out there, like a man in a van or a man in a pickup, who do this, do that, do the other, move a bit of furniture for you, get rid of your waste legally, etc., and what have you. Now, they could do these little jobs around the island, cleaning the signposts up and getting the moss off. The moss is absolutely disgraceful around the island.
So when,
anyway,
when do, you said, was it about 20-odd years ago you contacted them and said, you know, it needs doing?
Correct, Andy, correct. 100% I did. You know, and the answer I got was from the Department of Transport, I think, then, or something like that. And it says, we're not interested in what you are suggesting. We will do it ourselves, Andy. We will do it ourselves. Well, don't hold your breath, because it's disgraceful around the islands, the state of the signposts, etc. Now, it can be a creatable job for someone in the DOI to go around and do it. You know, because I'm sure that commissioners and corporations around the island can send emails saying, this sign is dirty, that sign is dirty, and brambles and bushes,
yeah,
and what have you. But if you don't mind, we'll leave that subject for now. Just got a couple more. It won't take long, Andy.
Okay.
Now, I heard last week you were talking about the problems with postage to and from the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
Now, there's something fundamentally wrong there, Andy. See, listen, Andy, you're a man of the world, and so am I. If they can get bloody Guinness to the Isle of Man, surely they can sort the parcels and post out.
you would have thought, wouldn't you?
Well, come on, Andy. And that Guinness company is absolutely making billions, millions around the world. And we can't get a decent postage service to and from the Republic of Ireland, which is on our doorstep. Now, the thing is, Andy, if somebody does send a parcel or letter away, does it go on the boat or does it go on the Republic of Ireland airline to Dublin? Or is it going via the UK? Well, there's your problem if it's going via the UK.
All right. OK. Appreciate that, Ken. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah, I've just got a little one before you go. Not a big one. Don't worry. I've listened to The Man in Line a long time, since David Collister, etc., etc., and spoke about certain things in the past. Now, I'd like to suggest, I'm not knocking the programme at all, I suggest it goes on for 2 hours like BBC Radio 2. Now, if you're not capable of doing 2 hours, I'm sure you've got staff there which could man the phones and make it extended for 2 hours, because it's not on long enough, Andy. It's not on long enough. It needs to improve. Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. I've taken that down. I'll give it to the people who matter. That's not me, by the way.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Back pain, neck pain, headaches, joint pain. At Align 4 Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 15 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're now open Saturdays to make it even easier to see us. Visit our brand new website at align4life.com or find us on Facebook for opening hours and more information. Align 4 Life, 15 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
B&B's fantastic summer sale is on now. Make it a sensational summer with up to 25% off throughout the store. beautiful sofas and suites, stunning kitchens, gorgeous beds and bedroom ranges from leading brands, with up to 24 months interest-free credit across the store and nothing to pay for up to 3 months. B&B Furniture's fantastic summer sale, on now at Snugborough Industrial Estate.
At Holmes & Davidson Opticians in Douglas, we see more, so you can too. Our advanced eye examinations go beyond the standard checkup, using state-of-the-art Heidelberg 4D retinal imaging and Eidon ultrawide field technology to detect early signs of eye disease before symptoms even appear. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in eye health because your vision deserves more than average. Book your advanced eye exam today at Holmes & Davidson Douglas. Clarity, care, cutting-edge technology.
The Manx Heritage Transport Festival 2025 is on from Tuesday the 22nd to Sunday the 27th of July. Explore our unique world of trams and trains with events across the island, including a celebration to mark 130 years of the Snaefell Mountain Railway, plus workshop and depot tours, motorman taster sessions, lots of vintage stock, horse-drawn trams and much, much more, with something for everyone to enjoy. To book events and for more information, visit rail.im.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Imagine you are spending time in a rainforest retreat.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
You acknowledge the tightness releasing as the warmth of the light brings you back to self-care.
Tropical Paradise Retreat, the latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now as a podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Oh, Betty's on now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I haven't got a lot to say, just simply that anybody coming to the island should be fully vetted and have a job to go to, and that any dependents should be limited to blood relatives and not aunts, uncles, second cousins, or simply friends.
Okay. Well, I think most people, if people are coming for a job, they have to have a work permit, don't they?
I thought that was gone now. I think they don't need a work permit. I could be wrong.
Okay. All right, Betty. Thanks for calling today.
Yes, could you check that out about the work permit?
We'll certainly pass that through and see how many have been issued as well. Thanks, Betty.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, and Mike's with us now. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Andy.
Yeah.
It's just a quick one. Somebody mentioned the old railway line. Now, I use the old railway line, and it was very, very overgrown, like over 2 foot narrower. A few years ago, a local company, stripped it all out, levelled it, made it hard standing, put an edge, wooden edging on it, and underneath the hard standing, they put a membrane to stop the weeds coming through. Now, last week is the first time, I think, it's been cut this year. It was so overgrown. So they've cut it with a strimmer, pushed all the cut stuff to the edge, but you can see that the grass where it's come over the edge and has been allowed to come over the edge, because I don't think it was hardly cut at all last year either, has actually come over the edge and is now grown in to the chippings and that they rolled in. So that will grow back. So we've spent a fortune to make, say for instance, a 6 foot wide path that's hard for cyclists, prams, pushchairs, whatever.
Yeah.
And now, unless it's cut regularly, it's going to be back down to 4 foot wide in places. Because it was literally, once I was kicking the stuff away before they cut it, and in places on one side, it was over 18 inches grown in. And you can still see, now they've cut it, you can see where it is growing in the hard standing.
So what needs to be done?
Well, for starters, forget this no mow May rubbish, because I know it's done for the birds nesting and everything. If you regularly cut edges and whatever, they will move away from the edge. If it's being really cut, they won't settle there anyway. So this no-mowing thing that's come up in the last few years is just making the problem worse, giving them an excuse not to cut it. And so you're getting the weeds come back to the other side of that, the old railway line from Peel. They put a nice tarmac path from Mill Road that follows the river all the way to the weir where the water's taken off for what was an old mill and then was the power station cooling ponds. Now that there is still hasn't been cut yet, and that is overgrown and it's down to 2 foot wide in places, and we spent a fortune on this, so we need to spend money maintaining it. As simple as that. We need to stop the stupid big projects, use the employees we've got to maintain what we've got.
So, I mean, when they say we don't have the budget for stuff like that, what's your response?
100 million on this climate change strategy, whatever it is? Forget it. As I've said to you on your programme before, the whole of the UK is responsible for 2%. That includes us. We've got virtually no pollution on the Isle of Man, industrial-wise. So our contribution to that 2%, you can't even measure. So we're throwing money at a problem that doesn't exist on the Isle of Man. We could all run around on 1950s V8 American pickups and the world wouldn't notice any difference. Okay. Might get a bit of smog in Douglas, but the world wouldn't notice any difference.
All right.
We're just wasting money. Hand over fist.
Okay, appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers.
Cheers now. It's 8 minutes before one. Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Just come back to Mike very, very quickly before I talk about what I want to. Yes, that's wrong about the £100 million for climate change. £100 million for climate change is over 10 years for start. And also, much of that is going on what's called mitigation. So stopping flooding, beefing up sea defences, so when we get the storms and the high tides coming in so they don't flood things and damage things and various other stuff. So again, you know, climate action and expenditure on it is misrepresented, and here's some more misinformation. But I digress. You were talking about the Muslim youth of Great Britain, I think, handing out leaflets.
Yeah, somebody sent me a copy of the leaflet.
Is it extreme in any way?
Or? Not in the slightest, no.
And this brings me to a point. The person who introduced Islam into England...
was Manx.
Yes, absolutely. Abdullah Quilliam.
Yeah.
The great Abdullah Quilliam, whom, for those listeners who don't know, he was educated at King Bill's and... he ended up as a solicitor in Liverpool, but then went to a trip to the Levant, what is now Israel and Lebanon and such, and converted to Islam and came back and established a mosque in Liverpool and a girls' school adjacent to the mosque, and used to cut something of a figure in Liverpool, going around in a kaftan and a fez. But he was then made by the Grand Mufti in Mecca. He was made by the Grand Mufti the Sheikh of the British Isles. So when people say, oh, what's Islam got to do with the Isle of Man? Actually, quite a lot.
Good point. Very good point.
Zach Houston, I think, has written or is writing his biography.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bonzo.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
Good to hear from you. We've just gone to the Grove Museum at Ramsey with the grandchildren, first day of the school holidays. Guess what? Lo and behold, it's shut. You think they'd open it for the school holidays, wouldn't you? Says Peter. Talking of scaffolding, on 490, says all the towers scattered around the TT course for a big part of the year makes the place look a mess. Hope they've got planning permission. It's hard enough getting permission for normal things. Actually, my friend Graham spoke to me at the back end of last week about this and said, if they're going to have scaffolding around the TT course for whatever it's TV cameras or marshals, why don't they paint it? At least it would look nice. Paint it pink or black and white. Just paint it, rather than just having scruffy old scaffolding towers. It's a thought. Talking of painting, so can anybody tell me when the Marks and Spencer car park was last painted? Or indeed, who cleans it? Anybody know? The query on work permits, certain professions or trades are excluded, though they may need a DBS check, e.g. medics, so there's no in-depth vetting. You can probably come over and then not work, says this correspondent. 682 says this. There were some requests for relaxing the work permit legislation. Certainly the hospitality industry was having trouble getting people. So they... Now, the extent of that relaxation, I don't know, but it would be interesting to know how many wouldn't it be interesting to know, maybe on the monthly basis, how many work permits have been issued? Do you think that would be useful or just too much information? I want to say thank you to... I've got a correspondent who sent me a really long message, which I'm not going to do now. We'll do that possibly on Wednesday. Because you know what's happening tomorrow. Chief Minister's here. Alfred Cannon MHK, Aaron Michael MHK will be on from 12. If you want to get in touch, get in nice and early. Call 66 13 68. You can text, you can email, you can WhatsApp, or in the meantime, you can send off a screed if you like to maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. Oh, and remember, this Friday is the closing, it's the deadline to apply for the first round of funding celebrating the Manx language, the culture van in Trecht. Want more information on this? If you want to promote the Manx language, go to manxradio.com, find the news item, click on the link, and there you are. The close for the first round of funding is this Friday. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. WINT.